I'm Pastor Aaron Winiwski, and I like that Jesus was a storyteller. He told stories to make points, and one of the stories that he told was about a young man who thought there would be nothing better than to get out from under his roof, to get out from under his father's protection and provision and authority, and to go live life on his own. He thought there would be nothing better than to have a pile of money that he could spend however he wanted to, do what he wanted, total freedom. There would be nothing better than that. So that's what he did. He talked to his dad and said, "Hey, why don't you give me my inheritance now? You're worth more to me if you give me your money than you are to be in relationship with me. I'm going to go away from you." And his father said, "Okay, here's your inheritance. Go, do what you will." So he moved to a neighboring town, and he spent his money, and he was living large for a time. Then a famine came, and he found that he was out of money, he was out of food. So he got a job. The only job that he could get was working for a pig farmer. And it got so bad and he got so hungry that he was thinking about eating what the pigs were eating. He thought he wouldn't be welcomed home if he turned around and went back. He thought that he didn't have any other choices. He got so desperate, though, that he started thinking, maybe my father, who I have insulted, whose resources I've taken and wasted, maybe he would let me be a servant in his household. Maybe. Maybe I could be a slave. That's what he thought. What he didn't know is that while he was walking around in pig slop, absolutely stinking things up. I've been in pig slop. Oh my goodness. You know that within a few hours of him walking through pig slop, when he finally got up the courage, when he had rehearsed his speech enough times that he would give to his father, begging him essentially to be a slave in his household, when he had worked up the courage, when he had practiced the speech, he didn't know that within hours of him walking through pig slop, his father would be putting sandals on those feet, would be putting a robe on him, would be putting a ring on his finger, that there would be a party in his honor, and that he would be dancing in his father's household. Because he thought there would be nothing better than being out from under his father's household, but he was wrong. He thought that he wouldn't be welcomed back, but he was wrong. He thought that he was no better than a slave, but he was wrong. How many times do we think things that direct our actions, that keep us stuck, that are just plain wrong? I hate being wrong. I'm kind of a trivia buff, and so I remember times in my life when I've been wrong. It's so sick. I mean, like, really, they are seared in my memory. For instance, when I was working a corporate job, my best friend at work, we would nerd out on stuff, and we were talking nerd stuff and saying, you know, Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings, the only other movie that I've seen that he's directed is The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a Robert Zemeckis film. None of you are going, what? Now, see, now this is trivia nerds. Come on, Robert Zemeckis directed Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. I'm pretty sure Robert Zemeckis directed Michael J. Fox in The Frighteners. And my buddy's like, absolutely not. This is definitely directed by Peter Jackson. This is the kind of argument I get in. And so, of course, with now that we have the internet that we can look things up on quickly, he looked it up and was like, see, Peter Jackson. Oh, Robert Zemeckis was the executive producer. What an idiot I am. How stupid. But that's the kind of talk that I have to myself. I would nerd out with this guy in our church who's moved away now, but he was on our church board, and we'd talk nerd stuff. And there was a time that we were talking about music, because I'm a guy who, like, music comes on, and I want to name the song title and the artist, and if I can get the year, even better. It's how my brain works. It's a sickness. Michael McDonald comes on. Maybe some of you maybe remember Michael McDonald. If you don't, look him up. He's got kind of a funny voice. I love it. Michael McDonald came on, and Andy, my buddy, said, "Michael McDonald. He was in Steely Dan, wasn't he?" And I said, "No, he was in the Doobie Brothers." And Andy's like, pretty sure he was in Steely Dan. Okay, but any trivia nerds out there, how many of you say, yes, Michael McDonald was in Steely Dan? Anyone? Anyone? See, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's a sickness. So he looks it up, and he finds out Michael McDonald was in both bands. So we're both right. That's the kind of wrong I like to be. And there was another time where Andy and I were talking, and Andy comes up to me with this bit of trivia. He wants to rock my world. "Hey, Aaron, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang." Okay, no. "Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You know who wrote that film?" And I was like, "Yeah, I know who wrote it. Roald Dahl, the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the BFG, James and the Giant Peach." And he's like, "Nuh-uh. Ian Fleming, the creator of 007, James Bond." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it's Roald Dahl." So we look it up, and Ian Fleming wrote the story, and Roald Dahl wrote the screenplay. So we're wrong. We're both right. Anyway, but like, some of you are going, you've got this internal dialogue going, where is he going with this? What's going on? Where I'm going with this is, I care so much about being right that there's something wrong with it. That I remember the times that I'm wrong because somewhere inside of me, I've got it locked in as a truth that being right makes me more lovable, more valuable, more acceptable, makes me okay. And if that's true, then being wrong makes me less acceptable, less lovable. And that's hard. That's hard for me. Now, is that true? Does it matter if I know who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? It sounds so ridiculous when I say it out loud. And yet I'm operating as if that's true. We have these internal dialogues. We have these thoughts, this thought life, this consciousness, these systems in our mind that we just accept, and we just go forward with, we just move forward. And so many times, like the prodigal son, the son who spent everything, who wasted his money, so many times we're just wrong. It's wrong thinking. By the way, do you know who owns the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car today? I do. It's Peter Jackson, the director of The Frighteners, and... yeah, right. Go. What? I try to amaze people. See, I'm trying to feel better about myself here, and I'm just not getting a lot of like, whoa, no. But that's my sickness. That's my sickness. We all have stuff that we carry with us. We all have things that we say to ourselves. Like, seriously, when I do something or say something wrong, or somebody criticizes me, or I'm afraid somebody's criticizing me, the internal dialogue is absolutely awful. Oh, how could I be so stupid? What an idiot. And this is the censored version. How many of us, if we were to take our internal dialogue and talk that way to our friends, would have any friends left? How is it that we don't talk to other people that way, But we talk to ourselves that way with that internal dialogue. We're talking to ourselves constantly. And by the way, we are lying to ourselves constantly. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I wish I did. That'd be a good trivia piece to lock in there. The human heart is the most deceitful. It's your consciousness. What you say to yourself influences your identity, how you see and interact in the world. And your consciousness, the things that you say to yourself, your heart, your innermost beliefs and ideas and thoughts often are completely misplaced. Our identity is often based on a lie because of our deceitful hearts. So we're in a series about winning with the hand you're dealt, and that's one of the cards. We've talked about my chemistry, my physiology, all right? My chemistry, my connections, like the family that I was born into. I didn't choose that. That's just a card that was dealt to me. Your circumstances, the things other people do to you, or the situation you find yourself in, it's just dealt to you. Now, we're talking about our consciousness. What's been dealt to you in terms of an internal dialogue, where you find your value, what you believe is true about you. Often, it's the things that we say to ourselves over and over that become true about us. I remember when I was getting ready to graduate from college and I was preparing for a job interview, and I was talking to my dad and kind of working through some of the questions that I knew that they would ask. And what's, you know, one of the questions they would always ask, what is your greatest weakness, right? So I'm talking to my dad about this, and I say, well, my greatest weakness is definitely organization. I am a very disorganized person, is what I said to my dad. And that's something that I had kind of learned, that people had told me. Yeah, you get dates mixed up, or you have a messy desk, or whatever. You're a very disorganized person. You operate at the last minute. You're a very disorganized person. So I just had accepted. I'm a very disorganized person. And my dad said, hold on. You're in college. You've been married almost 2 years. You've started a business. You've held a job. You've purchased a home that you're renovating. You're managing rental properties. You're graduating in 4 years with high honors. Does that sound like something a disorganized person does? No. Well, I guess that makes sense. But I had just accepted, yeah, okay, organization isn't my greatest strength. However, I could have done the things that I'd done if I had truly been a disorganized person, as I'd kind of been characterizing myself. Sometimes we need people in our lives who can kind of wake us up and go, really? Is that really the truth about the situation? Sometimes we need to be told that these messages we've recorded in our minds and that we keep repeating over and over again, maybe they need to be rewritten. Your habitual thoughts, they are your identity, what you think about. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is, as a man thinketh. So he is. Your thoughts define who you are. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The heart, those innermost beliefs, thoughts, feelings, they determine the direction you go. So protect what you think about. You say, well, the course of my life is set. There's nothing I can do to change. Are you sure? You have to challenge your thoughts. You have to challenge the misperceptions, or they're going to dominate your life. They're going to take you the wrong direction. If you've got a pen and you've got your program, you're writing stuff down, I want you to write this down. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings happen to us. We don't have to believe them. You might say to yourself what other people have said to you or what you assume about yourself. Well, I'm unattractive. I'm overweight. I'm disorganized. No one would ever want to marry me. No one would ever want to date me. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. You might have these kind of recordings playing back in your mind, and what you really mean is, I feel dumb. I feel stupid. I feel unattractive. And feelings happen to us. We can't change that. However, feelings, we can't get them mixed up with facts. We've got to challenge our feelings. We've got to see them coming. And instead of just being blown in the wind of our feelings, we've got to stand up and say, what's true here? What's real? What can I hold on to? Because I can choose what I think about. I can choose what I think about. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. I can choose what I think about. Every time you think, what happens in your brain is there's an electrical current that happens. And as you think the same thought, it travels along the same path. And our brains are like a field of tall grass. Imagine that. And as you think a thought, you're walking a path in the grass. The next time you think the thought, it's a little bit easier to walk that path because some of the grass is matted down. Keep thinking that thought, and the grass becomes a dirt path. It becomes hard, and it becomes very easy to walk that path. This is how habits are formed. This is how our brains work. Now, it used to be believed that once those habits are formed, once your personality is set, all those things are set, and your brain is like stone, where you've cut this path into rock and you cannot change. Over the last 25 years, there's been amazing research done on neuroplasticity, the understanding that your brain isn't like stone where something's carved into it and it can't change. It can change. It's like that path through the grass, where if you decide to think something different, if you look at that path in front of you and that path says, I'm stupid, and you're going to say that to yourself again, you can cut that path off and say, wait a minute. I am created in the image of God, by Him, for His glory. He has good plans for me. I am a child of Almighty God. I am a son or daughter of the King. And no one says to the son or daughter of a king, you're stupid, you're ugly. I am not going to walk down that path. I'm taking another path. I'm starting another thought process. And yes, the grass is high here, and I've got to do it consciously. It takes conscious effort to move down that path, because this other one is so much easier. I've been down it so many more times. However, as you walk down that other path, it will become easier. The path you did walk will start to become overgrown. And your brain literally changes as you change your thought patterns. So science has finally caught up to Scripture. Because in Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't let them set the pattern in your life. Don't let the advertisements that tell you to not be content, that you don't have enough, you're not pretty enough, your skin isn't smooth enough, your hair isn't full enough, you don't have enough hair. Whatever the message is, Don't conform to what they're trying to press you into. Don't just look at how other people are behaving and saying, well, that's normal, so I'm going to do that because it's normal. Don't just accept that. Let God transform you into a new person I want you to read this out loud with me. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Your consciousness can change. God can change it. As we yield our thought life to Him, He can change it. As we take the messages that have been coming into our minds and switch them out, you can choose what you think about. So what are the messages that you're surrounding yourself with? Some of us have a real problem with social media, where just as I go to like trivia and winning, being right, as a way to get my value affirmed, a lot of us are putting something on social media and we got to check back and see how many likes there is. Do people like me enough? How many friends do I have? How many followers do I have? What are they saying about me? Sometimes we're filling our mind with messages that really come from someone else's insecurity. They're putting something online because they feel insecure. And we just eat that stuff up. That's how we define where we are, who we are in the world. Sometimes it's the news that we listen to. Sometimes it's the shows that we watch. We've got inputs coming at us. How many of those are rooted in the truth of God's Word? This is a challenging thought. How many of those are rooted in the truth of God's Word? Where are you getting truth to speak into your mind? What are the messages that you're choosing? So what can this look like? What kind of decisions can we make? I'll just tell you personally, I like music trivia. I like listening to the radio and hearing songs. But I got to a point in my life, and I'm not telling you this is what you need to do. This is my story. I got to a point in my life where I realized I have patterns of thought that are going on that need to change. I am in a rut. The music that I'm listening to is not helping. I'm not hearing messages that are rooted in God's Word. I'm hearing advertisements that are not helping me. I'm just giving myself over to what someone else is deciding for me. So I said, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to radio that isn't somehow rooted in something true, something real. That's a tough decision for me. Now, that doesn't mean that I listen to all praise and worship music. Maybe I will someday. Maybe that's the direction that I'm headed. I'm not saying that would be a bad thing. What I'm saying is I make the choice about what I listen to. I'm not just giving myself over to someone else to make the choices. Movies. My wife and I, we're adults. We are grown-up people. We can watch something and know whether it's real or not. However, what we've discovered is that movies that are rated R are rated that way for a reason. And we got to the point that we just got kind of fed up with what was being delivered to us, and we got tired of making excuses for it. We got tired of saying, well, but it's a good storyline, and it's a well-done film, and a lot of people are saying that it's good. Sure, there's some cringy moments that we've got to make it through, or there's some language that's gonna rub us the wrong way. We got tired of doing that. And just said, you know what, let's not anymore. We don't have to let the Academy Awards tell us what a good movie is and then just eat that up. So we, in our lives, I'm not saying this is a decision you have to make. I'm telling you, this for us was a choice that we made. We're grown-up people. We can watch any movie we want, rated whatever. And yet we're setting boundaries in our lives because we care about what goes into our brain. That doesn't mean anything that's not rated R is good, all right? And it doesn't mean we're watching all G. Be grown-ups, all right? Make reasonable decisions. That's a decision that we made for our lives. So as we change what we're putting in, what you may find out is what I found out, that our brains are like a scale. And if you're putting in negativity, you're weighing the scale towards something negative. You put enough negativity in, you start putting up enough negative thoughts in your mind and just let them go, let them keep going. If you don't step back and say, enough, there's something true here that I'm missing. If you let that keep going, you find yourself in a depression. It's not a shock, it's not a surprise that if all you're putting in is negativity, you're going to find yourself in a negative rut that you are going to have a hard time climbing out of. You've got to be choosing what you put into your mind. You've got to be choosing what you think about. And as you choose, as you make those choices, and I'm not saying that's the only factor in depression. We've talked about chemistry, connections, circumstances. This is just one more factor. You've got to be putting in positive. So that happens on Sunday morning. You're hearing messages about who God is in your life. You are good. You are good. And when the night is holding me, God is holding me still. You know, we're getting messages here. You're getting messages from God's Word. We're going to sing a song in a little while here that's going to remind us that we are children of God. That's our identity. It's got to be more than just Sunday morning, though, folks. What are you doing during the week? What are you putting into your mind? What's the music? What's the visual messages? Who are the friends? What are the thoughts that you're putting into your mind? If you're not putting truth from Scripture into your mind on your own, nobody can do that for you. That scale has got to balance. My wife had this idea to put a bunch of family photos, like going back generations, these black and white photos on one of our walls, and it's just dozens of, it's our family, like us as kids, and then it's our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-aunts and uncles and pictures where they look young. And then she found this plaque that has a verse from a song, an old hymn that has meaning for us. Of course, I'm blanking on it now. Help me out. How does it start? She's not... Are you blanking on it too, or you're just not saying anything? It's how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. So we have this wall where we're reminded of what, that there's more to us than just us, that we've got these connections, that there's just generations going on, and then thanking and praising God for how great he is. So you can put thoughts and ideas in your mind in more ways than just what you hear. You can decorate your home with thoughts and ideas that remind you of the truth. Philippians 4:8, Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What if our minds had a filter on them that had these criteria, how much would make it through that filter that we expose ourselves to every day? Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You can make decisions right now about what you're going to put in front of you that meets that criteria. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise.